Today, then, we will look at Proverbs on the fool, how to recognize and deal with fools. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, we are likely to call someone a fool who lifts heavy snow with his back instead of lifting with his legs. Or we might call someone a fool who accidentally drives into your lane and makes you take evasive action. Or you might call someone a fool who goes for a holiday in northern Iraq. No one does that. You'll think that's foolish. But the Bible identifies who the real fool is. The Bible tells us what will happen to the fool, and the Bible tells us how you should deal with him. And you will hear about this today from the book of Proverbs. Our headings are recognizing the fool, second, the results of fool or of his actions, and then third, responding to the fool. Our goals are that you will learn to recognize and deal with foolish people in a way that would lead them to Jesus Christ. We begin first with the heading, Recognizing the Fool. And we will be reading a lot of scriptures today, and we will, of course, do them together. But let's start on recognizing the fool. A fool is one who lacks good sense or judgment in an important matter. But the ultimate fool is one who does not believe God, one who rejects God. One who rejects his word. He lacks the sense or judgment to see that there is a God and that he should serve that one true God. And there are some specific characteristics of foolish people where they show their lack of regard for God and his word. Let us look at some of those characteristics now. The fool has contempt for knowledge and wisdom. Contempt for knowledge and wisdom. He has a revulsion to wisdom. He thinks he knows everything. Doesn't care about what God says or what his word says. He prefers to go with his own idea or opinion rather than the scriptures. He doesn't take time to learn what God says, so he rejects God. Now, I had example of discussing with someone last night about what the scriptures say. And here's a man explaining to me what the Bible says, and he's quoting, but he learned what an imam might have told him, or maybe what he read in some book, but it's not in the Bible. And he's telling me that they're in the Bible. And you know they're not there. And that's a common tact that's sometimes used by Muslims, or by saying something's in the Bible that isn't there. It's never been there. But they're taught that it is there, and they use that as gospel truth. Well, to use that term carelessly, they don't really believe the scriptures. But somebody told them that, and they start to quote it. That's an example of deliberate ignorance. There's no love or craving for knowledge and wisdom. It's what the person thinks. Now let's read some of these passages. Proverbs chapter 1 verse 7 together. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. You want to fear the Lord, you will want to know what his word says. But it's the fool who despises wisdom and instruction. So watch out for people who don't read and don't want to learn. Those people don't make good husbands, they don't make good wives, they don't make good friends. Have people who are trying to learn. You may disagree, but at least you're trying to learn, so that's how you will gain wisdom. Now, Proverbs chapter 23, verse 9, together. Do not speak in the hearing of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of your words. That's the nature of the fool. He has no regard for wisdom and instruction. Proverbs 17:16 together. Why is there in the hand of a fool the purchase price of wisdom, since he has no heart for it? Then Proverbs 28:26 together. He who trusts in his own heart is a fool. Oh, that's almost, that really gets to the heart, doesn't it? The one who trusts his own heart, who trusts himself, that's the picture of the foolish person. Then Proverbs chapter 15, verse 5 together. A fool despises his father's instruction, but he who receives correction is prudent. Now this is one that's particularly, it's taken generically for all of us as God's children, but specifically for young ones as well. You children in the home, you want to be wise, you will listen to your father's instruction. It's the foolish child who thinks he knows everything and doesn't want to learn. And the parent might say, let me show you how to do it. And then the child says, I know. And then he doesn't know. You've probably had that. You probably did that yourself. And then you found out the hard way. Wisdom requires that you learn to listen. The fool, though, has no stomach for wisdom. He's repulsed by it. It is like rotten food to him. That's the kind of picture here. He despises it. You see something and you think, oh, that smells bad. That's how the fool treats wisdom. He sees himself as a sole arbiter of good and bad. He doesn't need the Bible. He does not consult the advice of scriptures. He thinks he is wiser than the Bible. He rejects instruction from parents, much like Rehoboam did. Remember how Solomon came back to God later in his life and spoke of the wisdom that he had gained from all his wandering years. But Rehoboam said, no, I'm going to do what I want. He rejected wisdom of the leaders. If he were wise, he would have taken advice, but he didn't. Next, the fool talks too much about nothing of substance. He thinks he knows everything and doesn't need to learn new things. So part of his nature is try to make other people want to listen. He just rambles on. He doesn't know, lacks wisdom and knowledge, it's a first one, and then he talks. What a deadly combination. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 10, together. He who winks with the eye causes trouble, but a prating fool will fall. He who winks the eye, the idea of one who winks is the idea of a scammer. You know, some people pretend to give you the wink. It's not very common these days, sort of outdated. But in the past, people would wink a lot more to give a message, a subtle message. Or really, this word means a fraudster. He who winks the eye is a fraudster, but the fool will fall. In other words, he is worse than the scammer, the pretender. Proverbs 18:2 together. A fool has no delight in understanding, but in expressing his own heart. Oh, what a terrible, it was a true verse, but a terrible description of who the fool is in this way. He just speaks whatever is in his heart. And he rambles on. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 23, together. A prudent man conceals knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaims foolishness. Jesus said, what's in the heart is what will come out. But here's the issue. The foolish man thinks he instinctively knows truth. He thinks his heart is a source of wisdom. But he causes those who follow him to fall. So here's the warning. Here's the danger. We'll talk a little bit more about that later. But you see a sense of it. He causes others to fall. So guard yourself against the one who never stops talking and doesn't listen. As we've memorized from the book of James, be quick to hear, but slow to speak. The fool is the other way around. He's always quick to speak. Next, the fool slanders others and brings strife by his tongue. Things that can hurt by the way, far more than blows. The greatest hurt you probably experienced, it wasn't your parents, as much as that probably hurt. It's when somebody says something mean to you or a lie about you. That hurts a whole lot more. And that's a characteristic of the foolish man. Let's read some passages now. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 18. Together, whoever hides hatred has lying lips, and whoever spreads slander is a fool. Then Proverbs chapter 10, verse 3. Together, it is honorable for a man to stop striving, since any fool can start a quarrel. You notice that. Any fool can start a quarrel. Proverbs chapter 18 verse 6 together. A fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calls for blows. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. His lips set a trap that harms him. Not just maybe his body, the blows, but also deeper in his soul. The one who talks too much is liable, as my father used to always warn us. If you talk too much, when you run out of things to talk about, you'll start making things up. And that's what Solomon was saying here. And isn't it always true that it's easier and it's more salacious and more tempting to make up stories or some rumor or lie or gossip about others than to talk about holy things? Isn't it juicier to talk about other people rather than the underlying cause of Islamic terrorism? How many people want to talk about that when there's some juicy gossip? You see it on the news. If some celebrity has some messed up life, they're focused there and watching his window, and then there's serious problems in the world, because they want to pass that tidbit on to others, because they know how people love slander and gossip. Next, the fool doesn't advance in life. How can he? He's rejected God. He's often in lower positions in society. He is restricted to very limited tasks. And Proverbs 11:29 addresses this together. He who troubles his own house will inherit the wind, and the fool will be servant to the wise of heart. Why? He's too busy talking about others. He's too busy rambling on about his own ideas. He doesn't want to learn from others. He thinks he knows everything. And the end result? He simply becomes a servant. He doesn't advance in life. Now, this is not always the case. Sometimes foolish people inherit a lot of money and they have big jobs. But this is a general case where someone who is foolish will find himself poor because he's not thinking wisely. And by the way, who will want to invest with a fool? A foolish man comes up with a business strategy and you think, I'm not sure you are. You think you know everything. You're never going to talk to get advice. It's like somebody who decides, in the old saying, that if you you represent yourself in court, that you have a fool for a lawyer. You want somebody who knows what he's doing, someone who's got the experience doing that. So no one will want to be with you, and the likelihood, if you act foolishly, that you will be the lower rungs of society. Because you'll be prone to rash decisions and to bring destruction to any business. Next, the fool is dangerous. He's dangerous because he's unmanageable. He doesn't go by God's word. He disregards God as his authority. Look at how Proverbs describes him in chapter 17, verse 2. Together, let a man meet a bear robbed of her cubs, rather than a fool in his folly. I mean, if you followed what has happened recently, somebody was killed again out in Alberta by a bear. And a bear that's robbed of her cubs is the worst type of bear to meet. And the Bible says that's nothing compared to meeting a foolish man. When he gets going, he poses great danger. Proverbs 14, verse 7 now, together. Go from the presence of a foolish man when you do not perceive in him the lips of knowledge. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit. Fools mock at sin, but among the upright there is favor. They don't care about sin. What's the ultimate danger? It's sinning against God. If you're around fools, they will mock that. Are you doing like that? Are you living like that? If you live a pure life, if you don't commit adultery and you're waiting until you get married, you know how you're regarded in society today? It depends who your friends are. If you got the friends of the world, they'll laugh at you. They'll think you're a prude, you're outdated, you're living prehistoric times. NBC says you're living an alternate lifestyle if you live a traditional pure lifestyle. Fools will mock. And he's dangerous because he's careless. And look at the one more before we move on. Proverbs 14 verse 16 together. A wise man fears and departs from evil, but a fool rages and is self-confident. Nothing causes more accident than someone says, I can do that. I know how to operate that tool. I can drive there. Let me show you how. Too many stories started that way and ended badly. And because the one is foolish this way, and who rejects God, and therefore is dangerous, don't let your daughter marry somebody like that. Don't bring him into your church, even if he's rich. You see, that's where sometimes these pressures come into church. You accept someone as a member because they're well-to-do, and they can certainly help the church in its finances. But we need to guard against the danger of the fool, because he can bring great harm to you, the people of God. Next, the fool is wasteful. He doesn't operate from the fact that all things belong to God, and therefore God must be the determiner of how it is used. He believes that all things are from himself, through himself, and to himself. Proverbs chapter 21 verse 10 together. There is desirable treasure and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but foolish man squanders it. There's oil in the dwelling of the wise. There's a desirable treasure, but the fool squanders it. He doesn't have regard for God's law. Everything you have belongs to God. 100% of your salary. Don't think that 10% belongs to God. 100% belongs to him. He determines how every penny is spent. But the other side can also be true. There are others who can be hoarding, stingy, keeping everything for himself rather than sharing with others and tithing. Maybe this is a question if you ever have to deal with a potential son-in-law. It's a good question to ask. Do you tithe? That would be a strange question to ask. But maybe that's a good question to ask. You will see, is this man, does he understand that everything he has belongs to God? Or will he enter into marriage as a robber? And if a man would rob God, why wouldn't he rob anyone else? Next, the fool is unrealistic. He dreams about things which he cannot receive. He is wild in his goals. And Proverbs 17:24 addresses this together. Wisdom is in the sight of him who has understanding, but the eyes of a fool are on the ends of the earth. The eyes of the fool are thinking, I can get everything, I can capture, I can accomplish, I can do. And then he loses perspective of his family, of his church, of his relationship with God, because he wants to capture the whole world. That's an unrealistic person, and that's a person who has departed from God and from God's word. Next, the fool has no regard for his mother, his own close relative. I didn't use father here because you understand already the closeness of a child to his mother who has cared and nursed him. But the fool is selfish, so he can't stand discipline and instruction. When he gets them, he rejects them, even from his own mother. Proverbs chapter 15 verse 20 together. A wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish man despises his mother. Then finally, the fool loves sin. Ultimately, this is where it comes down, right? This is the ultimate point. The fool thinks it is wrong to leave sin and sinful situations. Look at how the fool sees sin. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 19, together. A desire accomplished is sweet to the soul, but it is an abomination to fools to depart from evil. And then Proverbs 15:14 together. The heart of him who has understanding seeks knowledge, but the mouth of fools feeds on foolishness. So what do you see here? Foolishness is like food to the fool. And who doesn't like a good meal? So if it's a fool, he's thinking, what's really good for me? It's foolishness. He thinks that's great. He thinks taking unnecessary risks is a good thing. He thinks living a promiscuous life is a good thing. That's like food for his soul. It's like enjoying a good steak. That's what he finds pleasure in. He literally eats it up. Proverbs 10, verse 23, together. To do evil is like sport to a fool, but a man of understanding has wisdom. Again, who doesn't like a good game? Most people do enjoy one sport or the other. And when you see that, you're taken in and you're rooting for your team. Well, that's how the fool sees evil. He thinks sin is pleasurable. And he gravitates to it. And he's focused on it. And he's rooting for it. That's the man who does not know God, who has departed from God, who is living for himself. What's the result? Second main point, the results of being a fool. The foolish man brings trouble upon himself throughout his life. First thing, he brings trouble upon himself throughout his life. Look at Proverbs. Now, chapter 19, verse 29. Together, judgments are prepared for scoffers and beatings for the backs of fools. This is the frustration that he will face in his life. He could be punished for his wrongs, or he could end up with figurative blows. It could be punishment by the government or punishment from God. Life becomes hard for the one who is a fool. Look at a couple more passages. Proverbs 26, verse 3. Together, a whip for the horse, a bridle for the donkey, and a rod for the fool's back. That's what he can expect. Proverbs 14:3, together. In the mouth of a fool is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise will preserve him. His mouth causes him pain. His mouth is like a rod that will beat him back. Because of all the foolish things he said, he's hurt by them. And he is hurt throughout his life. Second, the foolish man brings eternal judgment upon his head. Not just troubles throughout this life, but even at the end of the world, he will not escape the judgment of God. Why? He's rejected God. He's rejected his word. Proverbs 1:32, together. For the turning away of the simple will slay them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. Ultimate speaking, spiritual destruction here. Then Proverbs 10:21, together. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for lack of wisdom. Again, this is speaking of spiritual starvation. You don't rely upon the fool, and in fact, he dies for his lack of wisdom. Third result, the foolish man will bring judgment upon others who are with him. So you're judged in this life, you're judged in the afterlife, but it doesn't end there. People around you who follow the fool suffer the consequences of being with the fool. Proverbs 13:20, together. He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. So you bring judgment upon yourself. If you are friends with foolish people. And take note, remember who I identified as the foolish people. The one who reject God, who reject his word. And four, there are other consequences as well for the fool. For example, the fool brings sorrow to his parents. And Proverbs 17:25, together, a foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her who bore him. Proverbs 10:1, together, a wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is the grief of his mother. Proverbs 19:13, together, a foolish son is the ruin of his father. Most people don't think of it, young people, often because they're taken up by their own views and their own desires. They sometimes don't think about the consequences of their actions against their own parents, against their mother and father. But the one who's foolish, the one who rejects God, this is the ruin of the father. This is the ruin of the mother. You know, parents can take somebody who has a very basic lifestyle, maybe might not have done so well in school, but when they have a child who turns his back on God, one who doesn't love Christ, who doesn't serve him, that's the worst of all. That's the hardest thing for a parent to take. So how do you respond? Point number three, or third main heading. How do you respond to the foolish person? First of all, the Bible says you must ignore the fool. Don't listen to him. Don't let him force you to listen to him. Don't take his bribe to listen to him. Sometimes they will do that too. You have better things to do. Instead of listening to the fool, write a letter to the missionary. Play with your kids. Call your mother-in-law and have a nice conversation with her. Invite a visitor to church for lunch at your home or dinner. Invite a family to play a board game together at your house. You have God's words to speak. You don't have time to listen to a fool. You need to ignore him. A few passages. First, Proverbs 16:22. Together, understanding is a wellspring of life to him who has it, but the correction of fools is folly. Proverbs 26:4. Together, do not answer a fool according to his folly, lest you also be like him. And Proverbs 27:22. Together, though you grind a fool in a mortar with a pestle along with crushed grain, yet his foolishness will not depart from him. You get that? When you crush something, you get the flavors out. You benefit from it. And saying, you put that in there, you put a fool in there, you can't get foolishness out of him. You can get the juices out of garlic, but you can't get foolishness out of a fool. Saying, don't waste your time on those who are that way. Who knows what a fool might do in response? Look at Proverbs 29, verse 29. Together, if a wise man contends with a foolish man, whether the fool rages or laughs, there is no peace. In other words, what's the benefit? You fight with a foolish man, it's almost a useless thing. Proverbs 17, verse 10. Together, rebuke is more effective for a wise man than 100 blows on a fool. You can try, but it doesn't have the impact, because by nature there are certain foolish people who will resist every logical thing you might say. So ignore the fool. And yet, look at the second one of how you are to respond to the fool. Don't ignore the fool. As the pastor lost his mind, he just said, ignore the fool, and then he says, don't ignore the fool. Well, there are many different ways you have to treat. Some people are foolish in different ways. And there's sometimes, the Bible says, you are not to ignore the fool. Look at Proverbs chapter 26, verse 5. Together, answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own eyes. There's sometimes when you have to speak. When someone is saying something that can affect other people, for example, if someone is telling your children some foolish thing about how they should live and what they should do, you need, as a parent, as a covenant member, to tell that child no and to rebuke the person who's speaking foolishly, because they can affect other people. So there are times when you have to answer the fool, while there are other times you have to ignore him. you have to use discretion in knowing when to speak and when not to speak. Because sometimes confrontation may be unwise. If someone were very angry, for instance, that's not the time you want to have a discussion. Somebody is angry, they may have wronged you and they crashed your car. And they might have been the wrong one, but they are angry. Who knows what they're angry about? You learn then, be quiet, don't answer. Go to the reporting center and make a record and do what you're supposed to do, but don't try to argue with that person. So sometimes you say no, but then there are other times you must not ignore the fool. You have to call him into question so that God would be glorified. And sometimes it's the wrong time. Not every place is time to correct someone. Sometimes it's the wrong place. Third, don't praise the fool. How do you respond? Don't praise him. Sometimes people want to praise the fool because they can get some benefit from him. But if you do, you might think that he might think that his life is good. You know, politicians love you to stroke their ego because they want to... You want to get something out of them and they want to get something out of you. And here's the thing though. Where is the honor of Christ in this? How does that honor Christ? When you just want to be nice, you know the person is a foolish person, has no regard for God, and has no regard for truth. But because the person may be important, maybe a judge or somebody in high position, you sort of want to befriend them, and you sort of listen to some of the foolish things they say. No, don't praise the fool. Point out when he's wrong if it's appropriate. Remember, the goal is this. You want to lead that person to Christ. So if someone is foolish, and you just patronize them because you can get stuff, you're thinking your needs are higher than the needs of the person. You're thinking your benefit is higher than the glory that should come to God if that man repents. So you have to take that into consideration, that you are here for the honor of Christ. You were saved by Christ. You have to serve Christ, and therefore put the needs of that person ahead of yours and put the glory of Christ above yours. You're to love God. You're to love your neighbor, not yourself. If you praise the fool, you are contributing to his destruction, and he has no hope of seeing the work of Jesus Christ. Okay, so Proverbs 26, verse 8, together, like one who binds a stone in a sling is he who gives honor to a fool. Useless, dangerous. And finally, call the fool to repentance instead of praising him. Ignore him. When necessary, don't ignore him when you have opportunity to speak. Don't praise him, don't encourage him in his wrong, but rather call the fool to repentance. And we conclude with Proverbs chapter 8, verses 5 and 6. Together, O you simple ones, understand prudence, and you fools, be of an understanding heart. Listen, for I will speak of excellent things, and from the opening of my lips will come right things. You see the picture now? Okay, you don't know God. You don't know God's word. You need to come to an understanding heart. Listen, and I will speak of excellent things. Where are the excellent things? In the Word of God. And that's what you're doing. You're calling him there. You're calling him back to God. What's the most excellent thing? Repent and believe that your sins may be forgiven. Ultimately, that's the call to the foolish. You see, the cure for foolishness is wisdom. And how do we get wisdom? We go to the one who is wisdom, who is the source of all wisdom. We go to Jesus Christ. Jesus is personified in the Proverbs as wisdom. When you read in Proverbs 1, 20, 3, 13, 8, 11, etc., there are lots of examples. They're really a picture of Jesus. Now, it's used in the feminine form because the verb, the noun is feminine. And you hear of wisdom, she is calling. But the real picture there is of Jesus Christ. He is calling, come out. Don't be lured away into sin. Come to me and you will find rest for your soul. He will guide you in all things that is right. You will reject falsehood. You will honor God. But you must come to wisdom. And that's your goal in dealing with those who are foolish. Let's conclude. The ultimate fool is one who rejects God and will consequently reject and mock God's law. He brings destruction upon himself by his rejection of God and his law. So pity him and then point him to the Savior. Don't let him influence you. You point him to the Savior. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, a couple of points as we conclude. First of all, don't throw the term fool around. Don't call someone a fool who makes simple mistakes, as we've all been guilty of doing, or we've been called fools ourselves. That's not the real fool, and you need to warn the children too that they learn to use it properly. The fool is a very serious charge. It's the fool who says in his heart, there is no God. That's the characteristic of the fool. Then second, make sure you're not a fool. That you trust in God. That you live according to his dictates. Remember, wisdom is to mark out your way. Jesus is to mark out your way. And then third, when dealing with foolish people, make sure you point them to the source of wisdom. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. He will instruct them in the words of life, so they might be saved. You see, love, not insult, must motivate you to bring wisdom to the world. And finally, if you have rejected Jesus Christ in the past, this is the ultimate example of foolishness. But Jesus offers you what you truly need. In his word, he has revealed how you can be saved, how you can live your life and enjoy it to the fullest. His word, and he calls on you in his word to receive his life and death as yours, and then you will truly become wise. Let us pray.